No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this third day of January 2022. I'm David Brown. Happy New Year to everybody. We are in the middle of another surge in COVID-19 infections and hospitalizations thanks to the Omicron variant. This latest mutation generally seems to have less severe symptoms than its predecessors, but it spreads more easily, and it could put even more pressure on a healthcare system already stressed to its limit. The Texas Tribune reports that as of shortly before New Year's Day, the percentage of COVID-19 tests returning positive for the virus in Texas stood at 26.5%, roughly one in four tests coming back positive. Hospitalizations had climbed to more than 5,500 statewide. On Friday, Governor Greg Abbott asked the federal government to help the state open additional testing sites in some of Texas's most populous counties. He also asked for new shipments of monoclonal antibody treatments, which have been in short supply in the Lone Star State. With each new variant, there are new questions about the best way to go about day-to-day life. And for some answers, we turn once again to Dr. Fred Campbell. We've been asking him for practical advice throughout the pandemic. He's a doctor of internal medicine and an associate professor of medicine at the Long School of Medicine, UT Health, San Antonio. Dr. Campbell, welcome back to the Texas Standard. Happy New Year to you and yours.
Well, it's good to be back, David. Happy New Year to you.
Omicron seems to have less severe symptoms than other forms of the virus. Does this seem to be the case across age groups from what you can tell?
Well, it is fortunate that Omicron is not quite as virulent overall as Delta. However, in the high-risk individuals, particularly those with chronic heart, lung, and kidney disease, cancer, and particularly the very old and unvaccinated individuals, the risk of serious illness and death is still there.
Had a one of my kids' schools said that please don't wear the cloth masks. Please start wearing the I believe they call them N95 masks. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yes, the N95 is a respirator type of mask, and certainly provides a significant degree of protection. They are considerably more expensive than the say the surgical masks or reinforced cloth masks, but it is important that anybody who's high risk in those categories consider using an N95 mask for their own protection.
Doc, if you can't get the N95 mask, is there what should you do? Is there a preferred backup there?
The less expensive but still effective types of mask would include a surgical masks like the blue and white masks that completely cover the mouth and nose. The other alternative that's still somewhat effective would be a reinforced cloth mask with at least two layers and using it properly over both the mouth and nose as tightly as possible.
What should you do after a positive result from an at-home rapid test? Are those tests reliable?
It appears that they are. Studies have shown that they are very reliable, and if someone is positive, it all depends upon whether they have severe respiratory symptoms as to whether or not to seek care. Particularly high fevers and shortness of breath should always be followed up on an emergency basis.
Curveball question here, doctor, because I've had a friend who had a positive test in their family, but then they tested a second time, came back negative. Tested a third time, came back positive. Nobody else in the house tested positive at all. How would you handle a situation like that where you're not sure if it's a false positive or just what?
Well, I would always consider a positive test to be a serious issue. And anyone who's a positive should be careful about exposure. For a minimum of 5 days should isolate themselves from exposure, particularly to the highest risk populations.
So if you do take a test and through the course of that, you get a positive, even if you get a negative shortly thereafter, assume that the positive is correct. Is that what you're suggesting?
I would. I'd consider testing a third time to make sure that it is, again, negative. And isolation for at least 5 days is considered to be important.
We are at a high time for cedar allergies here in Texas, and a lot of the symptoms seem to overlap with mild cases of COVID. Is there a telltale sign that seems to distinguish the two?
That's a tough question. Cedar allergies can be very severe and sometimes even associated with some asthma symptoms. So any severe shortness of breath would be important to be looked at on an emergency basis. Cedar allergies very seldom cause fevers above 100 degrees. So it's more likely that that would be involved with another type of respiratory infection. Symptoms like severe congestion, sore throat, even some loss of taste would overlap between cedar allergies and some more serious infections.
And if you're not sure, you would recommend what? Get a test?
I would get a test. I would also check with a health professional for any lower respiratory symptoms, particularly things like wheezing and, by all means, shortness of breath should be taken care of right away.
Dr. Fred Campbell is a doctor of internal medicine at the Long School of Medicine, UT Health, San Antonio. Dr. Campbell, thanks again for speaking with us on The Standard.
Well, it's always great to be here.